Dr. Moore Finn is with us in studio from Innes Medical. Dr. Finn, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank
How are you?
Very well. And thank you very much for joining us. We're going to talk about checkups and
yes,
New Year and
New
that
Year's
sort of stuff. If you've got questions, send them in to us. I've got a couple in already. But let's just before that, I wanted to get your take on flu in particular, because like everybody I meet seems to be telling me they've had the flu or somebody in their family's had the flu. Is it going away? Is it subsiding?
Well, what you're saying is had the flu. All the figures say that it's peaked, but there can be this double peak that they talk about. If there was enough of the population vaccinated, that kind of second peak wouldn't happen. I don't think it's completely gone, and even if there is, if the peak is gone, there's still obviously outliers, and it can continue on until the flu season really continues until March, to be honest, you know. So really, flu vaccination, yes. I mean, once you're vaccinated, it may take 10 days to 2 weeks for you to have complete immunity. But you could be one of the unlucky ones who will be exposed and pick it up in February or March. So we would always, if you're in the at-risk group, or even probably even more importantly, dealing with people who are in the at-risk group or in a caring profession, you really should have the flu vaccination.
Pass it on.
Absolutely, that's the thing. It's the responsibility we have to everybody else in the population. It's not, you know, you don't necessarily do this or any kind of vaccination for your own sake. You do it. There's a moral responsibility to protect the more vulnerable people in the population.
It's still worth getting then, in your eyes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Why don't more of us get it? Every year I ask this question,
I don't
have an answer.
I don't know. And I think what is actually very troubling is there isn't 100% or anything near it pickup rate in the health professionals.
Yeah.
And that's very troubling. Because, you know, like I said, we are the ones who are very responsible because we could be passing it on to somebody else. I don't know. I think the social media campaigns, the recent faux science campaigns have been very damaging. You know me, I have very, very strong views on this. And I don't understand it. I think people need to remember that you're not just talking about yourself. You're talking about, you know, if you don't vaccinate your children, for instance, you're putting not only your own children at risk, but all the children in the world who are too ill, too poor, or geographically in the wrong place to be vaccinated at risk as well. And that is something that I would think they could find it difficult to live with.
Okay. Well, they do, unfortunately, on a range of different issues, and that's going to continue, I'm afraid. But we've seen some improvements in different areas. Dr. Moore Finn is the third health professional, by the way, to say it's still worth getting the flu vaccine in this programme in the last little while. Let's move on. We're going to talk about checkups because it's a new year.
Good intentions.
Just a vote.
Still when do we time stop we can, saying it's a new year, actually?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, probably when the election is called, actually. But no, in all seriousness, it is an opportunity and probably a point in which people will look at their health and will try and improve themselves, and hopefully the New Year's resolutions are still going, and if they're not, you should start them again. But we said we would use that as an excuse to talk about checkups. How many people should be getting checkups, and how many of those do?
Okay, that's actually, that it would be very difficult to put a number on that, but once you are over the age of 40, I think you should be having a checkup, as in a general health check, every year, every 2 years. After 50, every year, definitely. But you see, there's other things involved in that too, because depending on, you know, babies have checkups because they're having developmental checks.
Sure.
Pregnant women have checkups for antenatal reasons. So it depends on what you mean by a checkup. But I think if we're talking about just a general health check, I think those would be the guidelines to go with. And you see, you'll have people who over investigate themselves and probably present a little too often. And then you have people who completely ignore themselves. So I suppose one of the things that I'd like to get out there today is the fact that there's some issues you can, you don't know. There's no symptoms of them. Blood pressure is really the big primary one. You know, you can have blood pressure problems and not know it, not have any symptom. And the only way you will know it is by having your blood pressure checked. So you will, now that doesn't have to be in a doctor's surgery. It can be in a pharmacy sometimes. There's mobile health clinics that will do that kind of thing. But unless you check it, you won't know. Likewise, if you have an irregular heart rhythm, if you don't check that, some people might be aware of it, but most people wouldn't be. So these things that can only be identified through a checkup. Likewise, blood tests. You know, you can't know if you are developing diabetes unless you have a blood test or a urine test to check it. Cholesterol levels, the exact same thing. Now, some things, the other things that are actually so essential to our general health, you can do. You don't need to be told by a doctor that you need to eat less and move more. Do you
yes,
know what
of
I mean?
Course, yeah.
So, you know, that's not kind of rocket science. But at the same time, there's a whole gambit of different things that we all do together. And to get that perfect kind of, put you at the best possible place you can be for your health, you might as well look at the things that we can change and the things that you wouldn't know about.
So what are you looking for then in particular? What's top of your list for, a general checkup?
So if you're having a general checkup, we always do, first of all, you do a medical checkup, as in you'd kind of talk to the person, you'd see what, you know, there's the general things about age, their family history. Why are you here? But why are you here often then goes into, is there specifics that they're particularly worried about? Do they have sudden kind of bowel problems? Do they have problems with their urine? Do they, you know, is there something that they're worried about? Are they coughing a lot? You know, so that puts you into a specific area and you'll investigate that more. But as far as a general check is, if they don't have any specific problems, we'll always check blood pressure. You'll check your heart and lungs. You'll check your pulse to see that it's regular. And then we do just a general abdominal check or whatever else, if, you know, height and weight, if it's relevant. You know, if you've got somebody who looks like they're heavy, you'll do that, or underweight. But if they're not and they're not concerned about it, you wouldn't always do that.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at somebody and kind of have a very good idea what their BMI might be. And then you would go forward and do blood tests. And routine blood tests involve a full blood count, which is looking for your white cell count, your hemoglobin, to see if you're anemic or not, platelets. And this gives you a very good indication about your general health and your state of your immune system and your blood, to see if you've actually got good blood volume and also whether you have enough hemoglobin to carry oxygen around your blood. You look at your kidney function, you look at your liver function. They're very important, obviously, kidney function, to see how hydrated you are and how well the kidneys are actually functioning, to see if you're storing toxins or not. Chronic kidney disease is something you won't know unless you actually have a blood test done first as well.
Okay.
And it can mean that you don't tolerate medication the way as you would have done before. Liver function, again, you don't, you know, when somebody's jaundiced, they're at an end point with liver function problems often, you know. And then we look at cholesterol, which people are very aware of. We look at glucose to make sure you don't have diabetes or pre-diabetes. You look at the hormone levels for women in particular, thyroid levels for men and women, because thyroid problems, we would do it as a screening thing. It isn't necessarily a normal screening problem, but, you know, if you're very tired, if you've weight issues or anything, thyroid could be what's behind that.
And are all of these checked as standard? Because
yes.
Sometimes I've heard from of different conditions that if you're having a checkup, you should say to the doctor, will you look out for that one
as
well?
Yeah, most people, now, not everybody would do thyroid and hormones as standard. I would, just because of the cohort of patients I'd be dealing with normally. But sometimes, say for instance, hemochromatosis, this is a condition where you have too much iron in your blood. Your standard blood test might show that it looks like you may have that condition, and then you would call somebody back and then follow up on it. The lab tests can be expensive, and we need to be kind of responsible for that too.
We
can't send off, you know, vitamin D on everybody, because in fact it's an expensive test to do. And as far as vitamin D is concerned, like, the majority of the Irish population is deficient. So it's not, unless there's some very specific reason why you would want to look for it, we don't always check it. So results we get will lead us to other blood tests. B12 is another thing. We can't do that really as a screening test or a routine blood test, but if your initial bloods show that there may be a problem, we then follow up on that. So never get alarmed if you're asked to come back for a follow-up. It's just actually that routine bloods don't always allow us to do everything.
Do you use previous tests as a baseline? So if I had a checkup with you last year and I come back to you now, are you looking for changes?
Yeah. For instance, if somebody has a thyroid condition, you want to see if they're adequately controlled. So they may be on a standard dose of Eltroxin 50 micrograms and be fine on that. And then the next blood test may show that they're perfect, which means they're well controlled, or it may show that they're over or under treated. So it's based on the previous result and the current treatment. Likewise, if somebody has been put on a diet regime for cholesterol, you look at the comparison between one reading and the next. So yeah, absolutely, we have. And the wonderful thing about all the computerised, every GP practice is computerised now.
So it's
all there right in front of you.
Okay.
So that's why we're always staring at screens, looking at something.
Should I be in good health if I'm going for a checkup? I mean, if I have got even sometimes minor as sniffles or whatever it might be, is that going to affect my results?
That's a good question, because people often kind of say, will I get my bloods done while they're in with something else? And it's not the time to do it.
Yeah.
Because, for instance, if you had a sniffles or a chest infection or something, your white cell count will be raised as a response, an immune response to the infection. So that will be the baseline that will come back. So it would not be appropriate, okay, and we'd end up having to repeat it. So we usually say wait a couple of weeks and then do it. Likewise, if you've been put on medication for some particular reason, you may need to be finished with that before you do your blood test.
Cost?
I can't say for everybody, but blood tests are not considered part of the GMS routine medical investigations.
Is the checkup itself?
Checkup would be if you've a medical card. Yes, the checkup is covered, absolutely.
But you have to pay for the blood tests. I've had that before.
30 euros would be kind of standard charge for that.
Okay, yeah. And then you've got your doctor's consult visit. If you're not on a medical card. Yeah. Anything else on this? Because I've got some questions. But anything else on this that's important?
Well, do you know, this is something that it's so simplistic that people might be even annoyed to hear it, but the bottom line with health, and for people making kind of New Year's resolutions, it sometimes can be very easy. From a food or diet point of view, low salt, so that stops your blood pressure going up, low sugar, avoiding the risk of diabetes, and low fat. Hopefully you don't gain too much weight. High fibre and high fruit. That's not difficult to do, you know. But that would be the baseline that you should go for when you're thinking about diet generally. None of us are saints, and obviously, you work around that. But if you just think of that, and that's not very difficult to remember.
Fruit more than vegetables.
Fruit and vegetables, yeah. Okay, yeah, both together, yeah. Because they're high fibre in those, but fruit and vegetables. Obviously, smoking, thank God, most people think of this time of year as being a time to get off cigarettes, and much more people are ex-smokers than current smokers now, and that's fabulous. So smoking and alcohol are the other things. Okay. But they are, you know, you don't need to go to a doctor to be told this. Like, these are fairly simple things, and you can kind of put those measures into place by yourself.
Let's get to your questions now, Dr. Finn. On the flu vaccine, a 63-year-old listener, Anne, has been in touch. She got the flu before Christmas and is wondering, is it now too late to get the vaccine?
Well, that's a good question, because she got a flu before Christmas. It may not have been the circulating flu that is the one that we worry about at the moment. It may
These
have been
the different strains.
There's so many different strains, you see, and it's very, very hard to know for certain. So it is. She should still consider getting the flu vaccine. It will certainly do no harm to her at all, and give her protection against any other further strains that are still out there.
Okay. You mentioned thyroids. A listener tells me their thyroid readings have been down for some time. They're on 125 milligrams a day, presumably Eltroxin, but they don't say that. They feel tired and cold all the time. Is the thyroid serious? Is their question.
Well, it's more miserable than serious a lot of the time, though in some situations it can get to be a serious condition. It can be difficult to control. Some people are really straightforward. They toddle on 50 micrograms of Eldroxin forever and never have a problem. Mm. Others, they fluctuate a lot. And other comorbidities actually influence it as well. I would say she probably needs... Is it a lady?
It doesn't actually say.
Okay. It's a more common problem with women, actually, so that's why I'm assuming. But the patient should really go and have their thyroid antibodies done to make sure that there isn't some other underlying kind of chronic inflammatory condition. And there possibly is. Maybe need to be higher treated. Maybe need to have an endocrinologist to kind of just double check them at this stage.
Could you ask the doctor, Gavin, I have a solid lump near my pelvis. Is it a sign of bad health?
Well, it's certainly not something that you'd...
It's not ideal.
No, and I'm not sure what they mean by near their pelvis.
Yeah, I don't have anything more than that. Want to get checked out?
I would say anything, a lump, lumps are never... There's a few things in medicine that you don't like. Bleeding is one of them. Certain times women have periods, that's fine. Most other things, blood isn't a good thing. Lumps aren't a good thing. Most lumps are soft and fluctuant, and you can poke them, and you know they're pretty innocent, kind of, yeah. But you still have to check them. A solid lump, a hard lump, is never good, and I would seriously suggest that person get that checked as soon as possible.
Okay, John is in touch this morning as well. He's asking if there's a blood test to determine a person's stage of Alzheimer's.
No, there isn't a blood test as such to kind of give you an idea of how rapidly progressing Alzheimer's is.
Sure.
But there are things, there's other causes of dementia that are related to something like a vitamin B12 deficiency or chronic alcohol exposure or liver, you know, there's other things that we can check that can actually give us an idea that the cause of dementia, and sometimes there are reversible causes of dementia. So it's interesting, you know, that person should be kind of in the hands of medical professionals anyway, and make sure other things are being looked at. Other chronic infections can cause a deterioration in Alzheimer's and dementia. So as such, for Alzheimer's, no, but there are other medical conditions that should be checked in those situations.
Okay. You're going to have to help me with this one. If a female's ferritin levels every 6 months were between 3 to 6 due to menorrhagia,
yeah,
would you recommend an iron infusion rather than tablets? It's been going on for over 3 years.
Okay. Menorrhagia is heavy bleeding, heavy periods. Okay. And your ferritin levels are kind of a more detailed look at your iron profile to see if, because this lady obviously is anemic a lot of the time. So because she's bleeding so much, she is not storing her haemoglobin, so she's not, so she needs a little bit more iron. Normally you would kind of tackle that by giving iron tablets, because it's the easiest form of them. Iron infusions are done only when your haemoglobin drops very, very low, and if you're symptomatic in other ways. If you're very low in the haemoglobin, you can be short of breath and issues like that. If it hasn't been suggested, it may be that that lady is actually managing fairly well. One thing I'd suggest is that they look at the menorrhagia. Why, you know, is there, that should be treated. And there's many ways that can be done, either by putting a Mirena coil in to stop the bleeding or reduce the bleeding. The pill is another simple thing. A D&C, endometrial ablation. There's lots and lots of treatments. Treat the cause rather than the effect, I would say, okay, in that situation.
Just a final one then. A listener has been in touch to say they have cracked skin on the soles of one of their feet. Not causing many issues, but it is quite itchy. They've tried Savlon. It's improved it only a little bit. Any advice?
Yeah, that's really miserable and uncomfortable, actually. Yeah. It can lead to a thing called pomphylix, which is like eczema in the sole of your foot. And it gets all bumpy as well. Mm. But the cracked skin is really just extreme dry skin. Best thing you can do is soak your feet, Epsom salt, something like that. Soak them, pat them dry, and then just layers and layers and layers of moisturiser. Getting a pumice stone out to take away some of the excess dryness once they're soaked as well will help a little bit. Sometimes you'll need to use a steroid cream in that situation just to get you to a point where you can manage them a bit better. They can crack and get infected, you see. And then when your feet are in shoes and they're sticky and moist and fungal infections.
This time of the year, you're out in the rain and all that stuff. Yeah. Stuff as well.
So I would say look after those very well, and you can. It'll take a few days or a week or two, but you'll be able to get on top of that.
Okay, a listener's asking, you have to pay for a blood test when you have a medical card. Yes, you do. Yep. We just talked about that already. Yep. So just give people the answer on that, and I'm going to leave it there because I've lots more to get to. Dr. Moore Finn, as always, we appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you for joining us. If you've got questions or concerns about your own health, please do get yourself checked out with your own GP.